This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. As we're going to get into some serious business tonight with the topic that we're discussing. And I'm very excited about this because all the stuff I've been learning recently, going through the Truth Project, reading some stuff from Ravi Zacharias, it's really been on my heart how important it is to stand for truth, for God's truth, to be able to confront the deceptions of this world. And we're going to get into that here in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that next weekend, not this weekend, because this weekend is this weekend, and next weekend is next weekend. You know, we talked about that in the morning show, just in case there's some confusion there. But it's not happening this weekend, obviously, because we're here. But next weekend is Freedom Fest. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you're running out of time, you're running out of availability to get your tickets and help support M88. If you appreciate shows like Fresh Life with Levi that we just heard, shows like Rod Talk, the music that we play, you can help that continue just by getting your tickets for Freedom Fest 2008. We got 9 bands for 3 days at Cliffs Amusement Park next weekend, Labor Day weekend. So help support M88. Get your tickets for Freedom Fest 2008, and we'll see you out there next weekend. All the details on that available at m88.org. Well, tonight we're going to bring back one of our old friends. We've had him on the program several times before. We're going to be talking with Richard Abanas, who just wrote a book called A New Earth and an Old Deception. And this is a book that's basically a point-by-point rebuttal of a book that was written by another guy. And this book was picked up and endorsed by Oprah Winfrey. It has turned into a phenomenon that is capturing the hearts and minds of millions of people. And this is not a good thing, and we're going to explore exactly what this New Earth concept is tonight with our good buddy Richard. And Richard, thank you so much for joining us again here on Raw Talk. It's a pleasure to have you back, buddy.
Hey, it's my pleasure, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're still going strong and having a good time on the air.
Yeah, well, that's our mandate, actually. We have that written down in our creed for working at M88. So, Richard, you wrote this book, A New Earth, and real quick, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, just in case anyone's forgotten who you are, and tell them you know, what you've been doing here since the last time that we talked with you, and what's been going on with you.
Well, I used to work at the Christian Research Institute many years ago. Actually, I started working at the Christian Research Institute just after Walter Martin died, back in 1989. I was there for about 5 years, and then after leaving there, I became a full-time author. And I've written a bunch of books on usually apologetics and cults and the occult world religions, but also on things like video games, literature for children, and all through everything I write, there's always some kind of defense of the Christian faith, and that is what's called basically apologetics, mm-hmm. also discernment. So that's sort of what I do. I've been doing it full-time now, I guess since about 1994, so you know, it's been a very interesting road, and I've got a chance to look at a lot of cutting-edge issues. I tend to like to deal with those types of things like Oprah Winfrey and video games and Harry Potter and stuff like that, because these are the issues that, you know, we're being confronted with, especially young people, college age. I have a real heart for college-age kids, and so that's where my heart is, and that's what I tend to write about.
All right, and I thought it would be appropriate tonight to start off with Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, going through verse 9. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And that verse really strikes at the heart of what we're addressing tonight with this concept called A New Earth, a book that was written by Eckhart Tolle and was picked up by Oprah Winfrey. She endorsed it. She did an online class for it. And actually, Richard, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about who is this guy Tolle and why haven't we heard about him until now?
Well, Eckhart Tolle is a guy who came over to the United States from Europe, and he is what he would call himself a spiritual teacher. You know, he doesn't really connect himself with any one religion, so you couldn't really call him a Buddhist or a Hindu or anything like this. He's sort of a New Ager. He's a spiritual teacher, and he picks and chooses from all different types of religions, including, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism, but also he takes a lot of stuff from Christianity. He quotes the Bible a lot. He deals with philosophy a lot. So he's made this sort of mix of philosophies and religious spiritual teachings that is very New Age, and he basically has become really, really popular because Oprah Winfrey, of course, has sort of picked up on him as a guy who, as she calls him, a prophet for the 21st century. So she really digs this guy, and she finds a lot of what he says to be really something that speaks to her heart, and she wants other people to, you know, kind of go along with it.
Yeah, and I had a chance to watch some of the videos on YouTube of their online session, and we'll get into that here in a moment, but I got to say, it blew my mind. And as I was reading your book, as you kind of went point by point through some of the stuff that A New Earth proclaims, I don't know, it just kind of left me dizzy. I mean, why don't you explain, if you can, real quick, the basic concept of A New Earth and how Tolle came to this realization?
Well, basically, as I said, he's sort of a New Ager, and his bottom line teaching, which I think is one of the reasons why he's so popular, his bottom line teaching is that if you understand who you are and stay in the present moment of now, you know, not worrying too much about the past, not worrying or being concerned about the future and getting anxious about that, you can have perfect peace, joy, purpose, meaning, and can actually escape suffering in your life. And, you know, I really do think this is something that a lot of people are going after and wanting because of the times we live in. You know, a lot of people are suffering, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. They're worried, they're scared. And so this is something that really speaks to him. And what's unfortunate is that he makes some good observations about, you know, we can't worry about the past because it's gone. You know, we can't do anything about it. We shouldn't be too concerned about the future because it just doesn't exist yet. So it's best to kind of stay focused on what's happening right at the moment and deal with the issues that we are facing right now. Well, that's great, but the problem is he blends into that sort of practical advice a lot of spiritual things that deal with who God is, who you are, who Jesus was, the nature of sin and evil in the world, and this is where he really starts, you know, messing things up. And what's most tragic is he often quotes from the Bible to support his teachings.
Yeah, as I was reading your book, A New Earth, An Old Deception, it really started to twist my stomach as I was reading about some of the things that he said about Christ, about sin, about evil, and we'll get into all that here in a moment. But I don't know. I guess in the past year and a half or so, I've developed a new sensitivity towards anything that would try to not confront the gospel, the Bible, but twist it to an entirely different purpose, and that just rubs me the wrong way. Now, as you said, Oprah Winfrey has picked up on this and made a big deal out of it. She's hosted an online class that had hundreds of thousands go and attend this online class, and then they did, you know, Skype sessions that had millions more that either watched it or downloaded it. And you know, she's a master of the media, so she knows how to get the word out if she's motivated about something. Why is she so excited about this particular spirituality path?
Well, because it really does touch her in a very raw, intimate spot in her heart. As I've looked into Oprah Winfrey in her life, you know, she has had really, she had a really, really rough, terrible upbringing, not just living in the poor South in the 1950s before the Civil Rights Movement, but being very isolated as a child and having to, you know, to the point where cockroaches were her pets and a corn cob she dressed up as a doll. And then on top of that, when she lived in the inner city of Milwaukee, at 9 years old, she was raped. She was molested by a cousin. She was molested then by an uncle. She became pregnant when she was 14. I mean, the list of things that happened in her life, causing her a lot of pain, is just really long. And as I said, part of the teaching of Eckhart Tolle is how you can escape the suffering and the pain and the anguish and the torment of your past. And the way he does this is by sort of teaching that we are not our story, meaning we are not the real us, that is not the things that have happened to us, but rather the real core, central, inner, true self is this one essence of all that is, and that is God. And this is where his teaching comes from, where he says, you are actually God. You are this one essence permeating the whole universe, and that's very Hinduistic. And so it's easy to see how maybe Oprah and other people who have had some really tragic lives would want to distance themselves, what they would consider their real self, from the things that have happened to them, which they look at as happening to just their outer form. So it's almost a kind of denial when you really look at it. And it works for some people. I mean, that's how they want to deal with their pain and anguish. It's not the Christian way. It's not the Bible way. It's not God's best way. But it is a way that these people are identifying with.
Now, I'm glad that you mentioned some of that stuff about Oprah's past, because I'll be honest, I didn't know a whole lot about her upbringing, where she came from and whatnot. All I've known is that in the past couple of years, I've become really frustrated with her. Yeah, that's right. All of you who watch Oprah and think that she's the bomb, I really don't like her. I don't like what she promotes, because she claims to be a Christian, and yet she embraces, endorses, and promotes stuff like this New Earth philosophy that absolutely has nothing to do with Christianity. And it confuses so many people. I mean, it confuses so many people, because the retort I often get when we discuss Oprah is like, well, she's a Christian.
Right.
No.
Right. And you're right, yo. That is the tragedy, and that is the problem, where, you know, she was raised, interestingly, she was actually raised in the Baptist church all the way up, you know, being very involved as a child and as a teenager and as a college student. But I can see things in her life where she didn't like a lot of the restrictions and a lot of the quote-unquote rules and regulations about Christianity and all of this. And so she sort of has departed from that into this New Age type teachings. But she likes to keep a hold on her roots, and so that's why she uses Jesus a lot and the Bible, that she quotes scripture. These teachings are compatible with Christianity. She still views herself, she's very confused, she still views herself as a Christian. It seems to not really understand what a quote-unquote Christian is. I think she thinks a Christian is anyone who just sort of has an affinity for Jesus Christ rather than for Buddha or Muhammad. And, of course, you and I know that that's not what a Christian is.
And here's where I think I get frustrated with her, because I can understand someone being confused, because that happens a lot in the culture that we live in. And I understand that happens to people, and I have genuine compassion for that. I mean, one of the main reasons I do Raw Talk is to try and clear up confusion so that people know why they believe what they believe, so that people can understand if what they believe is real, do they really believe it's really real? You know, I want people to grasp that. But with someone like Oprah, the issue becomes it's not just her, but she has such an influence on so many millions of people. It just becomes so dangerous when she is as confused as she is, and yet she has such a hold on our culture. I mean, let's face it, she has a huge impact on our culture, whether you watch the show or not. I mean, you know the name.
And, oh, yeah.
And it seems to me that as a Christian, I don't know. It just frightens me that there's someone out there that has such a hold on our culture and our society who is so confused and is gleefully sowing that confusion everywhere she goes. And people, because of who she is, because she has so much credibility, just go along with it and say, oh, well, Oprah said.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I can give you a short story that shows that. It is really kind of unfortunate. I was down in the International Christian Retailers Convention in Orlando a few weeks ago where, you know, that's where all the Christian bookstore owners go. Mm-hmm. There's a big convention, and the new books are released, and they talk about what they're going to buy for their bookstores and everything like that. And I was there talking about my book, and I can't even tell you how many Christian bookstore owners came up to me and said, we are so grateful for this book because 5, 10, 15, 20 Christians come into our Christian bookstores every week to buy their Bibles, to buy their daily devotionals, and then they ask, where are the books by Eckhart Tolle for us? Because Oprah recommended him.
Oh, man.
So this is the kind of influence that's out there. And, in fact, you know, Forbes magazine actually named Oprah Winfrey the most powerful and influential celebrity in the world. So, yeah, this is a problem.
Okay, so it is a problem. The question that came to my mind, and I know, you know, you wrote your book about Tolle, but it seemed to me that the main problem wasn't necessarily what Tolle had written, but the way that Oprah got a hold of it and was able to promote it. You know, I mean, Tolle's ideas really aren't anything new. These are new age, quote unquote, new age ideas that have been around since, you know, ancient Greece.
Right.
So there's nothing new about what he's saying. The
right.
difference is Oprah got a hold of it and turned it into this phenomenon. And it seems to me like that is the main problem, not what he's teaching, but the fact that Oprah has endorsed it. And therefore people, oh, Oprah said. So my question is, and I don't know if this is a fair question at all, but it's one that kept coming up. How do we counteract someone as powerful as Oprah Winfrey when it comes to the influence that she's having on our culture with this type of stuff?
Well, I think, first of all, as Christians, as you and me, you know, just guys who love the Lord, and we have our own little small sphere of influence. You have your radio show. I have my books. The best any of us as Christians can do is just get good information and share it with as many people as we possibly can, and get that good information to them too. We are not, and I think it's going to be a lot more peaceful when, at least for myself, when I say I am not going to be able to counteract Oprah. It's impossible. There is nothing I could do, and nothing that me and 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 other people could do to stop what Oprah Winfrey is doing and how she is spreading New Age teachings in the world. But, and this is what's very encouraging to me, God doesn't call us to do that. What God calls us to do is to be faithful in the sphere of influence that we have, and to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, encourage with great patience and careful instruction, and to always be ready to give a defense for those who ask us for our faith. And if we're faithful in that, then God's will be accomplished, and those people who need to be touched and who are ready to be touched and talked about when it comes to Oprah Winfrey and Eckhart Tolle, they're going to get the message, and seeds are going to be planted, seeds are going to be watered, and there's going to be a harvest. And that's what we need to focus on, not necessarily, you know, combating everything Oprah's doing, but rather understanding that God is taking each one of us individually into various places because of this issue, and then that is where we are to be effective.
I'm so glad that you decided to come on the show tonight, because I got to be honest, after I was reading your book and I was watching some of the YouTube videos about this, and again, this isn't the first time I've come across some weird spiritual idea that Oprah's promoted, I was just getting so frustrated with it, and yet I was frustrated, but I don't know what to do. And, you know, I'm so glad you shared that, because that certainly settles me a little bit insofar as, well, there is something I can do, and it's not necessarily, you know, going up to Oprah's house and ringing on her doorbell and saying, stop it, which would be nice.
You feel that way sometimes.
Yeah,
you really do.
You
but
do.
I think in Christian ministry, frustration comes in when we start stepping out of what God really calls us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when that, we should never feel that. I mean, and that's why, like, when I'm even witnessing to a person one-on-one or sharing the gospel with them, I always say to myself, you know what, Rich? It is not your job to convert this person. Only God can actually convert a person, change their minds, open up their hearts, lift the blinders from their eyes. So my only job is to love them, pray for them, give them the truth, showing gentleness and respect, and be a reflection of Jesus Christ, the one who saved and delivered me. If I do those things, no matter what happens, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
I have done my job. God is pleased. And if that person accepts the Lord because God spoke through me, then I understand that it's only because he did it and he gets the glory. If that person doesn't accept the Lord and walks away and says, I hate you, well, that doesn't even change a thing because I've still been faithful, and again, God is glorified.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that you were here to share those things because, like I said, I was having a little issue with frustration of myself. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, but something has to be done.
And you are. See, yeah. You're having a radio program right now that's reaching however many people. It is reaching every single person that God has chosen to hear this radio broadcast. And then if they are faithful to what God calls them to, then every other single person will be reached and touched by the truth that God wants to have reached and touched. And so you are doing exactly what God wants you to do.
Well, that's exciting. I'm happy to hear that. We're talking with Richard Abanas, who wrote the book A New Earth, An Old Deception. And you know, I'm done with the Oprah issue, and we're going to move on to some more specifics about this the spirituality that's being presented in A New Earth. But, you know, talking about Oprah, I know that always steps on people's toes, and I'm more happy to discuss that with you. If you got a question or an issue that you'd like to talk about as we discuss this, please feel free to call in, 505-338-5790, 505-338-5790. If you've heard about A New Earth, you've had questions about it, if you thought, oh, this is something cool that I can add to my Christianity, and now you're hearing us talk, and now you're a little confused and want to clear that up, if you you're a little confused about Oprah now, it's like, wait, I thought she was a stalwart for Christianity. You know, whatever question you might have as we talk about this, please call in. Get it clarified. That's why we do Raw Talk. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in and join us tonight here on Raw Talk as we talk with Richard. And let's start with this issue when it comes specifically to A New Earth, Richard. Why isn't it reconcilable with Christianity? Because one of the YouTube videos I watched, that was one of the first questions that a Christian asked Oprah, how do you reconcile this with your Christianity? And Oprah used a lot of words to say a whole lot of nothing. And the question is, why isn't it reconcilable at all with Christianity?
Well, that's probably one of the easiest questions you could have asked. It is incompatible with Christianity because Eckhart Tolle and Oprah Winfrey deny every essential foundational teaching of Christianity when it comes to issues of God, salvation, Jesus Christ, the atonement, and our own natures as sinful human beings. I mean, it's just every single thing is denied, and that's what is so kind of bizarre about how Oprah can still call herself a Christian. I mean, just starting with God, the biggest A number one, top of the list issue. We as Christians believe in a personal creator God who we can have a relationship, who speaks to us and we speak to him. He leads, guides, protects us. He comforts us. This is a personal God, like you and I are having a personal conversation now. Eckhart Tolle teaches an impersonal force, an energy, an essence of cosmic stuff that pervades all we see. That is his God. It's not personal. It's impersonal. There's no relationship there. And this one unifying force or life source of the universe is what we really are inside.
And, you know, when I was reading that and I actually heard him talk about it when I was watching the YouTube videos, my first reaction to hearing all that was, huh? That doesn't make any sense. It sounds like you watched Star Wars one too many times. That's the first thing that occurred to me is like, okay, so the Force is real. Well, I'm sure a lot of Star Wars fans will be happy to hear that. That's fantastic. And I actually want to talk, I thought his what they had to say about Jesus Christ was really fascinating. But before we get into that, which is very key to our conversation, we have Rebecca on the line. Rebecca, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Rebecca?
Hi. First of all, thank you guys for having the show, Raw Talk. I really appreciate it. Every time I've tuned in, it's very informative and makes a lot of sense. So thank you. And you guys talked about subjects that a lot of pastors or churches aren't willing to bring up. So thank you.
Well, that's why we call it Raw Talk.
I just jumped in. I got in my car and I always have it set on that radio station. So I kind of got the recent 10 minutes. And you guys were talking about Oprah and stuff and all the promoting and stuff. And one of the things, I'm 24 and I, you know, consider myself young. And one thing I've learned, I've heard my pastor talk all my life, you know, is that you really have got to be careful with the media, the books, anything you allow into your life could be a big influence without you even knowing it. So, you know, he's always suggested no TV in the home. No TV at all. And I don't even, we're guilty of having TV and cable in our home, but we don't even have time, really. The only one that watches it is my elderly grandmother who's home. So, you know, we always put it on something Christian for her or something, but, you know, I don't watch all that because everyone's got an opinion. Everybody's got an idea of, especially Christianity is definitely in the limelight because it convicts them and the way they're living. And, so they definitely want to promote something to counter, you know, kind of counteract what God's trying to do. And so definitely watch the books you bring into your home, watch the TV, that you're watching and really pay attention. And the only influence there should be is the word itself, the Bible itself. And, I also listen to the doctor that's there during the week on for like an hour. What's his name? I'm so bad.
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
He does an hourly show during the week on this radio station. I always forget his name, but he also mentions on there about being intentional about things and about that, about, you know, the TV in the home and the books you read, and be careful about the books you know, that you allow yourself to read and what you bring into your home. And I just think that's the key point for Christians. And you guys were talking about how could we, you know, tell Oprah, you want to tell her to stop or whatever, you know, how we could pay the part to Christianity and to God is spreading the word through our communities, through people we've met and we witness to, and just tell them the word is the place where you need to be right now. And you also need to get grounded in a church, a good Christian church. You need to be grounded and you need to listen to your pastor. And I think that's really the root for having churches and pastors, because that's where we need to get our daily bread from, is from just that, not Oprah or not anything like that. Now, there's a lot of good Christian books. I don't want to talk bad about that because I actually own a couple myself and stuff. But you really need to just make sure the word is your foundation, and then you go from there.
Well, so, you know, you said a mouthful there, Rebecca, and I really appreciate you giving some good advice. And, Richard, I think you and I would agree with that, but it would also take it one step further insofar as, yeah, no TV is definitely one way to avoid the influences of something like Oprah. But you and I would say take it one step further. We as Christians shouldn't be afraid to engage these types of deceptions, and rather than wholly avoiding them, if we are equipped and discerning, we can confront them, and they cannot stand in the face of the truth of God's word.
So one of your Raw Talks, I don't know, maybe during the spring, there was one on creationism, and I just wanted to thank you guys again that I called in, and they gave me a couple good websites and kind of some good words of wisdom, and that really helped me because I had to, like you said, it's being discerning and being equipped with the word and, you know, all prayed up, and I was able to do a really good report for my college class and you know, creationism versus Darwinism, and it was really great, and, you know, God's just got his hands all over it. And I think that as Christians, I'm a young Christian too, and I believe that praying for God to give you that strength and that wisdom to be able to combat and have the courage and God with you. You know, he gives you his staff, and you carry that with you. You definitely want to confront those things and be a stand for God. I absolutely agree with that. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate how passionate you are about this. It's so important to do that. And what were you going to add, Richard?
Yeah, you know, I would say there's a couple things. You know, first of all, my personal opinion is that there's a difference between being discerning and careful and watching what you read and see on TV, and then completely not watching TV at all and not reading secular books at all. We have to be very careful that we don't go to that extreme. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that where the Spirit is, that's where we also have liberty. And we don't have to be afraid of things like television or the radio stations or books, because as you learn about what God requires of you by living in the world, we're supposed to live in the world but not be of the world. That can actually help us to understand what's happening around us. It doesn't mean, you know, watch, you know, movies that are really terrible and fill our minds with things, because you have to watch that too. But what we do need to do is not isolate ourselves. Jesus never created us Christians to live in isolation. What did he do? He went out and he ate. He went to parties with prostitutes, with sinners, with tax collectors. I mean, he went and hung out with the worst of the worst so that he could be a light. And he even said, who's supposed to be light now? We're supposed to be the light. So make sure you don't go too far in that direction, but as you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, use discernment as you watch things on TV so you can at least see what's happening around us. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And Rebecca, thank you so much for calling in. You have a great evening, okay, Rebecca?
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. And if you got something that you'd like to add as well, give us a call, 505-338-5790, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to join in with tonight's conversation. And I'm glad you brought that up about being aware of what's going on around us, because you know, I've been doing the Truth Project through Focus on the Family, you know, small group Bible study where we're learning what it really means to have a biblical worldview, that we filter everything in our lives through the truth of God's word. And one of the things that we've been learning is, and actually it relates to a new earth, is that we kind of live in an anti-intellectual society where we don't want to know what's going on around us. We don't want to have to think about what's happening around us. We don't want to have to learn what's going on in our world, because then we don't have to confront it. And one of the tenets that I was shocked to see in a new earth, because it seems so prevalent even in the church today, is this idea of, don't worry about thinking, just feel.
Yeah, in fact, you know, when it comes to thinking, that's one of the things that Eckhart Tolle is, you know, pretty much dead set against. He even calls it a disease, and that's because he is really sort of communicating with people and touching people on a very emotional, deep, heartfelt level. And, you know, when he talks about a lot of this stuff, it really does resonate with them. And if they don't think it through and they're not logical and rational about it, it can sound really good and make them feel really not only good, but spiritual. Mm-hmm. And everyone wants that spiritual connection. And when they feel that, they confuse it with truth. And that's why there's always got to be balance. I mean, we as Christians, we are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So there's like this balance that needs to be there. You can't get over intellectual, you know, or else you turn cold. You know everything about the Bible, but you have no love. At the same time, you can't do everything by feeling, or else when something comes along and it's not biblically sound, or it's, you know, really ungodly, you're not going to be thinking about it enough to see it. So there's got to be balance.
One of the things that struck me about Tolle's description of how, you know, just disconnect yourself from thought and just feel things was, you know, a very simple question. Well, how could you express any of this without thinking about it? Because in order to put together any sort of coherent speech for people to understand what you're saying, it takes some sort of thought process. So obviously, thinking can't be completely eliminated. You can't just feel and people automatically know what you're feeling without using words. Unless you're a mime, and I don't think Tolle's encouraging everyone to become a mime necessarily, is he?
No, absolutely not. But you know what's interesting is that this is where he speaks in contradictions. He actually does contradict himself. For example, he will say every belief is an obstacle to truth. But that is basically his belief about belief. And so since it is in and of itself a belief, then according to him, what he has just said there is yet another obstacle to truth.
Yeah.
So it's a self-contradicting statement. But again, if you're not thinking like that, you just sort of hear it and go, oh, yeah.
That's man, deep.
That's so cool. Yeah, I don't have any belief. I just know that God is with me. See, and here's where, you know, I have a recording of Oprah. I've made some YouTube videos and have some YouTubes on my website where she actually says, if you're in a religion that has to do with a belief in a God out there, then you don't have the true God.
Hmm.
And yet at the same time, they'll say you should never say any other religion is wrong. But that's exactly what they just said.
Yeah.
So it's these contradictions that affect, you know, both of them.
Yeah, and going through how you take it point by point is really quite fascinating, how many self-contradictory statements that there are. But you look at any sort of new agey type of belief system, and it's almost always self-contradictory. One of the things I really wanted to get into is their belief about Jesus Christ, because as Christians, we should be concerned about what another religion is saying about Christ. I mean, that after all, we call ourselves Christians after Jesus Christ. So what does Eckhart believe about this person, Jesus Christ? Obviously, he can't deny that he existed. I mean, we have too much historical evidence for that. So what does he have to say about Jesus Christ, and how does he fit that into the belief system of a new earth?
Well, Eckhart Tolle definitely believes Jesus existed, just like Muhammad existed and Buddha existed. He was a real man in history. And that's about as far as it goes. He basically, in fact, says that Jesus was just another great spiritual teacher, or he was just another savior like Buddha or Muhammad, who are, you know, to use New Age term, an avatar, which is just basically means a teacher, a way shower, somebody who gives forth spiritual truths that help people find their own destiny, their own self, their own spirituality. And when it comes to Jesus, basically Tolle says that he was no more divine. No more divine than you or me or anyone else. He was just more advanced spiritually. So advanced to the point that he was able to realize or become enlightened to that inner divinity in a very grand way. And his whole mission was to help others realize their own divinity or their own God self. Hmm. Now, so obviously that's a very different Jesus.
Yeah. And the issue of the name Christ, and I thought this was very interesting, and also one of those sticky points where Christianity can seem very new agey, because we talk about inviting Jesus Christ into your life, and that Jesus Christ, you know, comes and dwells within you, and that, you know, Christ is in your heart. We use those types of terminologies. And talk a little bit about how Eckhart uses that exact same terminology to talk about Christ, as all of us have a Christ within us, but it's not the same Christ that we're talking about. He's, from what I understood in your book, he's saying all of us are Christ, right?
Yeah. See, this is one of the ways that New Agers and, you know, cultists, many cultists, they'll take these little terms, phrases, words, and things from the Bible because, you know, we believe the Bible is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and they can sense that, I believe. And so they try to take these terms and words from the Bible and sort of steal them and make them their own. And this is what he has done and what New Agers have done with the word Christ. Now, the word Christ, it merely means anointed one. And we know from the Bible that this is the exact same term that the Jews were applying to the one who would be the Messiah. That's what Christ means, the Messiah, the anointed one, the deliverer. And so Jesus was, as Peter said, the Christ. But what Tolle has done is he has redefined what the word Christ means and makes it mean sort of just the inner divinity that is present and available to all of us. It's then becomes the Christ within, the inner Christ, or even the Christ self, or as Oprah calls it, the Christ consciousness. And mm-hmm. That, in fact, is what she said Again, from her broadcast on the Oprah show, she actually said this. On the Oprah show, national television,
yeah.
She said she thought the reason why Jesus came was to die on the cross for our sins, but now she realizes the reason he came was to teach us the Christ consciousness and how to do it, how to be and understand ourselves the way he understood himself.
Yeah, I saw that video, and I was kind of, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was kind of blown away. I was like, Christ came to reveal the Christ consciousness? That's not even saying anything. That's using words to say nothing.
Yeah, well, the term Christ consciousness doesn't even appear anywhere in the Bible. There's no reference to any Christ consciousness or inner Christ. All we see is Jesus being referred to as the Christ.
Right.
You know, and Matthew 16:15, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's it. But again, they pick and choose little things out of the Bible that they want to use to further their own agenda. And I think it's very interesting that you have all this talk about, oh, you are Christ, we are all the Christ consciousness. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He said that there are many who would come in his name saying that they are the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Christ, they would say, and deceive many. Well, now you have more than just a few people coming to say, I'm the Christ. You've got millions saying, I am the Christ.
Yeah, and that is certainly a problem. And the thing that I thought was most fascinating about Oprah's statement about why Jesus came, I was thinking, have you read the Bible? Because Jesus says very clearly why he came. When he was talking to Pilate in John chapter 18, he says very clearly, this is why I was born, and for this reason I came, to testify to the truth. Of course, Pilate said, what is truth? And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also said that the truth will set you free. Well, if he is the truth, then it is he, the Christ, who will set people free, because he is truth and he came to testify to the truth. And it just blew me away that someone could make a statement about, oh, I believe Jesus came for this reason, when the Bible says very clearly why Jesus himself explained why he came. And I don't know. It got me all riled up. I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, it is, it's frustrating because to be honest, I have no real problems personally with people who say, well, I read the Bible. I understand what you're saying. I see what you're saying. It does say this, but sorry, I don't believe it. I reject it. I just don't believe Jesus was God, and I don't believe he came to die for our sins. You can really much, much easier talk to a person like that than someone who takes the Bible and says, it doesn't say what it says. And you're absolutely right. You know, in John 12, Jesus said, it was for this reason I came to this hour. And he kept telling his disciples over and over and over and over again that he came to die for our sins and that by doing so it would save sinners. That was his mission. So, you know, when Oprah says, that's not why he came, she's stuck with having to explain all those passages where, no, that does M what it says.
Right.
It's sad. It's really sad.
And on this topic, you point out how Tolle repeatedly misuses scriptures. He misuses John 14:6, where he talks about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, yep, Jesus said that, but here's what it means. I mean, just how dangerous is it that Tolle uses scripture completely out of context for his own purposes? I mean, how dangerous does that make this whole belief system, the fact that he can twist scripture to say whatever he wants?
Yeah, that's the most dangerous part, I think, because, you've got people who don't know the Bible, believers and unbelievers who don't know the Bible, especially maybe new converts. I mean, can you imagine the college kid just accepted Jesus Christ and he doesn't know the Bible? When I first became a Christian, I didn't know anything about the Bible.
Right.
And yet, then all of a sudden, they start listening to this guy, and he quotes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you go look it up in your Bible, and yeah, that's what it says. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you go back to Eckhart Tolle, and he says, the meek are the egoless, and those who have awakened to their essential true nature as consciousness and recognize the essence in all others, all life forms. And all of a sudden, you've got this young Christian who's thinking that's what the verse means, and that's not what the verse means.
Yeah.
So it can really harm a lot of young Christians, and that's why, I want to say to your listeners, hey, do something. You know, get Bible studies going about this Eckhart Tolle guy. Talk to your pastor. Have him do just 1 week on who is Eckhart Tolle and what does he teach with Oprah Winfrey. Get out there and make sure that those in your church are inoculated against this false teaching. And obviously, because of what I was told at the bookstore owners convention, there's a lot of Christians out there who are falling for this.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, when I look at how he uses scripture and spiritual sayings of Jesus Christ, you can see how it would pull in Christians, just like The Secret did when The Secret was hit not so long ago and still a huge thing. I mean, that had a lot of appeal to Christians saying, oh, well, now I really understand how prayer works thanks to The Secret. And these things can so easily slip into the church if we are not watchful for these hollow and deceptive philosophies. I mean, there's no other way to explain what they are. They're just hollow and deceptive philosophies. I thought it was really interesting how he explained the whole use of the name I Am. When Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he's saying, well, here's what Jesus meant by that. Explain exactly how Tolle deals with this. Because when it comes to Christ's divinity, the fact that he used that name, I am, is very key in establishing that basically Jesus was saying, I'm God. And right. He tries to wipe that away by explaining what I am is. So how does he do that?
Well, again, he's taken this name, this name that God mentioned to Moses in Exodus 3, where, you know, Moses says, hey, who do I say sent me? And God says, tell them that I am that I am has sent you. And basically, this is a very mysterious Hebrew phrase that basically means I am the becoming one. I am the one who is. And it's a statement of his eternality and his divinity. And so this is God's, you know, most appropriate true name, I am. And we find that in the Hebrew Old Testament as YHWH, also known as Yahweh. So, you know, this is God's name, and he said it's his name forever. Jesus used it, and what did the Jews do? They picked up stones to kill him because it was blasphemy. He was claiming equality with God. But Tolle takes it and makes it into this, again, term for all. He makes it into a term of the inner divinity that dwells within each and every person. And he actually applies that divine name, I Am, to himself. Which, you know, when I read that, it sort of sent shivers down my spine because I couldn't imagine taking the name, the very name of God, and applying it to myself. And yet this is exactly what Eckhart Tolle did. When he in fact said it in one of the quotes, he said that after he had reached enlightenment, he said, quote, what was left was my true nature as the ever-present I Am consciousness in its pure form. Oh, and that's sad. I mean, that's really, there's judgment there.
Yeah, and the really tragic part of that is he encourages, and Oprah is helping him to encourage people to understand, you are I Am. And when I was reading that, man, this is a serious problem because that is an egregious claim to make that has some very serious consequences if you want to go down that path. I mean, it's not like God's going to say, oh, that's cool. You know, I understand. You're just a little bit confused. I mean, that seems pretty serious. Then I wouldn't want to go down that road.
Yeah, and again, this is his whole practice of taking various statements and words and phrases out of the Bible, reading them, quoting them, and then completely mangling and twisting and perverting the meaning behind them in order to serve his own agenda and support his own teachings.
Well, we're talking with Richard Abanas, author of the book A New Earth, An Old Deception. And one issue I wanted to make sure that we touched on before we ran out of time is how the New Earth deals with the problem of evil, because that is one of the issues that is a hang-up for a lot of people when it comes to Christianity. It's an issue that we all have to deal with. Why is there suffering? Why is there evil in this world? And I got to be honest, when I was reading about how Tolle explains this whole issue of evil and suffering, again, I felt like I just read a whole bunch of words that said absolutely nothing and certainly didn't provide any resolution to the issue. I mean, so how does A New Earth deal with this problem of evil and suffering, and how is it not even close to what the Bible has to say about it?
Well, this is touching upon one of those areas that could really be damaging to Christians.
Yeah.
You know, we as Christians believe in absolute evil and absolute good. We see it in the Bible contrasted all the time. This one is good, this one is evil. You know, God is good, man is evil. I mean, we see this again and again, but you have to understand, totally as with many Eastern philosophies and religions, look at everything we see, the forms that we see, our own bodies, the rock, the trees, other animals. Those are all just illusions of form that our minds have become attached to. They are manifestations only, fake manifestations of the underlying essence of all that is, this sort of cosmic stuff that permeates the universe, which is really the only reality. And so when it comes to evil, which revolves around how those illusory forms interact, basically it comes down to him saying there is no absolute evil. That, too, is an illusion, as is good. Everything is an illusion. And this is, you know, one of the things where I talk to people and I say, look, you're telling me that the Nazi Holocaust, kids getting gunned down in the inner city, innocent children, child molestation, terrible wars, these things are not truly evil? I always say, you tell me, is that evil or not? And if they say yes, then right there, what they've done is just contradicted a major, major chunk of Eckhart Tolle's teachings.
It seems...
And, you know, for us Christians, you know, he says we need to escape the pain and suffering that comes from evil by recognizing it as an illusion. For Christians, God says, you will have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And as Christians, we have a personal God to go to who can help us and guide us and lead us and love us and comfort us and even use the suffering and pain and anguish and evil that happens to us to mold us and shape us and make us more like him. You know, that's really a lot, huge part of the reason why bad things happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
God uses it. It changes us, it molds us, and it shapes us.
You know, considering Oprah's background, I'd be really curious to know if she really honestly could say that the things that happened to her were not evil, they were just an illusion. I mean, does she really believe that that is really real?
Well, see, what she's done, according to Tolle's teaching, is she has actually, and what, you know, what he teaches is that those things that happened really didn't happen to the real you. The real you is this inner core of divinity that cannot be touched. So the things that happened merely happened to the outer form, the illusion, the form of who and what you are. And if you keep your mind attached to that event too much, that is where the pain and suffering and anguish comes from. So what we're really dealing with here, interestingly, is a kind of denial.
Yeah.
It's a kind of not looking at it and letting it go and interpreting it as something that never really touched the real you. Therefore, it can't hurt you. But see, that's just an escape. That's not reality. And sadly, you know, we're seeing a lot of people wanting that instead of the truth.
Yeah. Well, I know we've kind of touched on this throughout the program, but to kind of wrap things up, and let's be honest, Christians aren't the best necessarily when it comes to being aware of movements that are happening outside of their, you know, Christian bubble. You know, we're very comfortable in our safe little environment, and we'll do our best to invite people to come into that, but going out and confronting things, it's a little, you know, extreme. I don't know if we want to do that. Why should Christians be concerned about a movement such as a New Earth? And why should we be willing to go out and engage it and say, you know, call it what it is? That's a bald-faced lie. Don't listen to it.
Well, you know, God commands us to. I mean, we are told by the Creator God, our personal Lord and Savior, that we must be both willing and able to share why there are false teachings. Read 1 Peter 3:15. read 2 Timothy 4:2. We're supposed to be able to, you know, if you don't want to correct somebody, that would be confrontational because it makes you uncomfortable, then at the very least, share your own faith, which in and of itself will be a testimony and a witness. You know, even Jude 3 says we were supposed to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So from just a clear standpoint of obedience, you know, God says to do it. But even on top of that, look into your heart and feel. Allow yourself to hurt for those in this world who are lost and dying and don't know the Jesus that we know. And let yourself hurt for those young Christians or those Christians who aren't rooted and grounded in God's Word, who are getting sidetracked and getting confused and, you know, getting hooked into the teachings of a man who denies the very resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the cornerstone of our faith. I don't know how we as true loving Christians could remain silent. Mm-hmm. We have to do something. Do what you can. Do what you can. That's all I'm saying.
And I would say, if nothing else, something like this should be an alarm bell going off for churches all over to say, wow, we need to make sure that people aren't just coming to church, but they're being discipled. And when they're being discipled, that they're not just being told who wrote what book of the Bible and, you know, why the Lord's Prayer is important, but that they're being taught how to defend their faith, that they're being taught why there is logic and reason behind what we believe, why truth is absolute, and how we can defend absolute truth, that, you know, a part of discipleship should be training for warfare, or engaging in this exact type of confrontation when the world is being assaulted by these deceptions, that there's people who are equipped and ready because they've been properly discipled to stand for God's truth. And that seems to be kind of a weak area in the Western church. At least that's my opinion. It seems to be a weak area that we don't do a great job of discipleship insofar as training for apologetic defense.
Yeah, that is a real weak point. We're weak on 2 points when it comes to apologetics. One is just the biblical knowledge that you need to have, the understanding of scriptures and the ability to defend the faith, and that's the intellect. And then the other part of it is, I think, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of Christians who are so concerned with themselves, they don't open up their hearts enough to love and care for other people when they're witnessing. You know, for example, you know, they just sort of bash, you know, if you have the knowledge, all you do is bash them over the head instead of maybe sitting down with somebody and saying, why do you believe this? Why do you believe this? I mean, and that's what I'd like to see too, more of, where Christians sit down with non-Christians or those they disagree with and simply say, talk to me. Why do you like this man? What is he saying that's touching your heart, that's speaking to you? Let's talk about it. I'm interested. And then hear where they're coming from and meet them where they are. Because you can't choose where to meet somebody. They are where they are. And you got to meet them where they are.
Well, Richard Abonis joining us tonight, author of a book, A New Earth, An Old Deception. And if you've heard of this Tolle guy, if you've seen Oprah who is talking about this and it's confusing you, this book can help resolve some of those issues. Richard, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about more where they can find out more about you, maybe get in touch with you if they have more questions, and find out more about the stuff that you've written that provides a good apologetic defense for the faith.
Well, actually, they can get all my books, including this one, at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or if you want, you can just go to your Christian bookstore and get something. If you do order from Amazon.com, it'd be great to leave a starred review. That always helps with the secular world when they see that. And then for more information on me, they can go to my website, Abanes.com, A-B-A-N-E-S.com. And I've even got a special webpage there on Eckhart Tolle where I have 3 YouTube videos that I've produced, only about 2 to 3 minutes long, that really kind of put a lot of this stuff in perspective in a very, very touching way.
I'm going to have to watch those because I just watched the raw videos from the actual webcast, and they blew me away. I was thinking, wow, this is so sad, and people are really, really excited about this. I mean, you know, watching the Skype sessions, you know, where they had people call in on Skype, you could just see on the look of the people's faces who are calling in, desperate desire for something. You know,
yes.
You could tell that they were seeking, they were desperate for something spiritual, and they were so hoping that maybe this could be it. And it just broke my heart to see the look on some of those faces, because they were so desperate that this might be what they were searching for. And I wanted to yell onto the computer, "No, you're wrong!" You know, it's like when you're watching a horror film. You're like, "Don't go in there!
Don't go in
no!
that room!"
Yeah, and that's the way I felt, and it just broke my heart to watch some of that. And Richard, thank you so much for sharing some of your time tonight to go over this.
You're welcome, bro. It's always my pleasure. Anytime.
All right, and hang on, I'll give you a personal goodbye here in just a moment after I wrap things up. Right?
Okay, brother.
All right, Richard Abonis, author of the book A New Earth, An Old Deception, good friend of Raw Talk. I certainly appreciate him sharing his time tonight. To close tonight, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, a verse that has become a recent favorite of mine, especially as I've seen what we are facing in our culture and our society today. Colossians 2:8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ." And that is exactly what is happening with Wicca, like we talked about last week, with Eckhart Tolle talking about this week, the secret that we talked about before. That is exactly what is happening. People are being taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy. And I'm so glad Richard came on tonight, because that is exactly how we should view them. Not as the enemy, not as someone to go out and destroy and blow out of the water, but as captives who need to be set free. And they can do that. They can be set free through Jesus Christ. He said, "The truth will set you free. I am the truth. That is the reason I came." And that is exactly how we need to see people. So I hope at least tonight's conversation has birthed in you a desire, a compassion for people who are being taken captive by these hollow, deceptive philosophies. And more than that, I hope now you see some ways to avoid being taken captive yourself. And God forbid that should ever happen to any of us. If we claim to be Christians, hopefully know exactly what that means, why we believe it, and why we believe it's really real. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Next week, obviously, it's Freedom Fest, but we will still move on with Raw Talk. We're going to talk a little bit about Israel, celebrating their 60th year of existence in the modern era. And we're going to talk about why Israel matters. Why should we should care about anything that happens in that small little country halfway on the other side of the world, practically. And we're going to discuss that and talk about the importance of Israel and how its destiny is tied up with our own. And you probably wonder, whenever Israel's in the news, why churches take such great interest in that. Well, we'll examine that next week here on Raw Talk. Hope to see you next weekend, also at Freedom Fest. Again, more details about that at M88.org. Thanks for joining me. This is Yo, and thanks for hanging out here on Raw Talk on M88.